Luke 9:50 reads, "But Jesus said to him, 'Do not stop him, for the one who is not against you is for you.'" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today we are continuing our discussion of missions. Specifically, we have started talking about goers, and then we will follow it up by talking about senders. And if you are a believer, you fall into one of those categories. You're either a goer who goes cross-culturally to bring the gospel to those who need it, or you are a sender holding the rope, so to speak, for those who are descending into the well. You are supporting, praying for, financially supporting, helping those who are goers. So this episode today, we continue talking about goers. And we've talked about how to assess if you yourself perhaps are being called by God to be a goer. What I want to talk about today blends a little bit into the sender category. These are ways of going slash sending that are not traditional. They are not the typical things you think of. Some of them were entirely impossible even just 100 years ago. But in our time, through technology, globalization, these have become very possible as ways to reach the nation. So we have, of course, the most traditional way of going is you just go as a long-term cross-cultural missionary. And that remains the most typical way, I think, that we should think of going as a missionary. But of course, the goal behind the long-term goers is reaching the nations, or even worship, as we've talked about. There are those who are not worshiping Christ, and we want them to be. So if we just keep that goal in mind, there are other non-traditional ways to reach that goal by God's grace, to reach the nations. That's what we're talking about today. Some of this thinking comes from, again, the Andy Johnson book that's out in our foyer that's just called Missions in the Nine Mark series. Chapter 7 of that book is titled Engaging the Nations by Other Means. And he says there in that chapter, quote, "Some of these may not be missions in the most traditional sense. They don't all have a claim on the resources of the local church. But some church members will have one gift and others another. After we've done what's clearly commanded, maybe we can still do more. Who knows how many other efforts the Lord might also be pleased to use? And it can start right where we live," which we'll get to soon. So I have here in front of me just three non-traditional ways to go and or send in the mission enterprise to which we are all called. Let me start with this very first one. And again, keeping in our mind that Luke 9:50 that I read, where Jesus said, "Don't stop him, for the one who's not against you is for you." So this is not the most traditional way to go about missions, but if it reaches the nations, we all rejoice. We are glad about that. Let's begin then with short-term trips. We call these short-term mission trips. You are almost certainly familiar with them. They are very common here in North America especially. I want to start with, this is a kind of going that really we probably could better categorize as a form of sending. So technically, if you go on a short-term trip, that's where you get on an airplane, typically, although you can do it also locally, Native American reservations. You can also do it cross borders. That doesn't require getting on an airplane, of course, but most of these are going to be you get on an airplane, you go to a different country somewhere else, and you are there for a few weeks' time, maybe a few months' time, and then you come back to your life here. So these are short term. It's not long. You're not becoming a long term missionary. You're keeping your job. You're keeping your home here, but you're going on a short term trip. These, like I said, should probably be categorized rather as a part of sending. If you read the Andy Johnson book, he has a chapter on how to do effective short term mission trips, and I couldn't agree more with him. He talks about short term trips really should mainly be focused on how we support and strengthen long-term workers who are already on the field. So short-term trips, for the most part, should just be focused on how do we encourage and support and help the individuals who are long-term goers, and how do we help their work, the work that they are doing. A lot of times, short-term trips really are imposed upon missionaries, maybe a church is financially supporting a missionary, and then tells that missionary, hey, we're sending 15 people, get ready, we're going to help you. And really, it just becomes a burden on the long-term worker who now has to figure out how to house and feed all of these people and find things for them to do when usually they don't speak the language anyways. We don't want to be that kind of a church in sending short-term workers. What we want instead is short-term trips that are designed around what the long-term goers would sincerely find helpful. Actually, Dan Gielock has reached out to many of our missionaries asking, is there any kind of short-term trip we could take from Faith Bible Church that would be sincerely helpful to you? Several have responded. Some things are in the works. We are hoping to have some short-term trips in the future. But that's the ideal. Again, there are exceptions even to that. There are some kind of short-term trips that are a kind of going. You reach people there. But God typically reaches the nations through local churches. And you can't have a functioning local church only through short-term goers. It just won't work. So typically, the short-term goers should really be, as a part of their sending, coming in to support the long-term workers. I was trying to think of, is there a biblical example of this? Even though in the past, of course, short-term trips were not like today. You couldn't get on an airplane. They would be life-threatening. Oftentimes, you would be traveling for long periods of time. Probably the closest thing I can think of is Epaphroditus in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Epaphroditus was sent by the Philippian church to travel a very long way to visit Paul, bringing news of the Philippian church, but also bringing a financial gift to support Paul. And then you may recall that Epaphroditus almost died, got sick and almost died on his way to Paul. So Paul said, honor him. And Paul was sending him right back. So in a sense, this was part of the way the Philippian church, as senders, were supporting Paul. Paul was the goer. Epaphroditus was not really the goer, although he was going. He was part of the Philippian church sent to support the goer. And we ought to honor such men as that. So that is our goal for the majority of short-term trips, and that would be well worth considering, especially if we have opportunities open up here as a church in the future. All right, another non-traditional way to do missions would be what we'll call local missions. I'm not mainly talking about working on domestic ministries like the rescue mission here in town. That is a worthy endeavor, but not cross-cultural in the same way that missions is. I'm talking about the way that in our day and age, God has brought the nations, even the unreached, to our very neighborhoods, so that it's no longer necessary in an essential sense for you to uproot and go somewhere else in order to bring the gospel to those who may never have heard it before from unreached nations or people groups, because God has brought those people here. If you think of the demographics of Evansville, we are by no means an incredibly diverse population, and yet we do have quite a number of people whom, if you were considering missions, you might consider going to these places. For example, you may or may not know that we have a substantial population of people from the Marshall Islands, the Marshallese. They've been relocated here. There are reasons for that. Some of it's been government relocation, allowing them to come here, but they've settled here. So you may run into people from the Marshall Islands. These are people who need the gospel. Everyone does, but this is a cross-cultural way of reaching these people if you just encounter them here. Of course, we have a good Hispanic population here in Evansville, about 4,000, according to census numbers, here in Evansville, who are Hispanic. So if you have some facility with the Spanish language, but even if you don't, there are a large number of people here who you would have to go to other countries, to Latin America, to reach these people, bring the gospel to them. And yet they are right here. They live right here. And often they are in a pretty close-knit community where if you befriend some people in the Hispanic community, it's not uncommon that you then get to know many other people in that same community. We don't have time to go through, and I don't have all the information to go through what other people live here in Evansville. Both USI and UE, since we have these two great universities here, both of them have students from around 40 different countries each. 40 different countries each. It's a lot of countries If you're not a student and you're wondering, how do I meet people? If I want to build relationships and share the gospel with people who have moved here or are living here from internationally, some of the easier ways to do that would be go to Iowa, our international market. But there's also quite a number of smaller international or foreign markets in town, supermarket type places. You can go there and just be friendly and meet people. You can also go to restaurants in town. If it's an ethnic restaurant, very likely it's being run by people from the ethnicity that the restaurant is based on. You can get to know people that way. ESL is another way, English as a second language, offering English lessons to those who come from other countries. That is a way to be very useful and to build relationships with others. And of course, just being neighborly. If you have neighbors who are from another country, just be neighborly. Get to know them, be friendly, pray for them. So that is local missions. So we've done short-term trips, local missions. And I just want to end with this one other opportunity. Sometimes it's called BAM as an acronym, B-A-M, Business as Missions. And this is simply you not going as a traditional missionary supported by a local church here, but instead just asking yourself the question, could I do the job I'm doing right now here in another country where gospel need is greater, meaning there is less sound gospel witness in that country? Could you do your current job there? Not infrequently, people who have some skill here in the United States, who travel overseas, can find work opportunities in other countries, even just because you can speak the English language fluently, that opens opportunities for you. But if you go to another country and you're not technically a quote-unquote missionary, you're supporting yourself, working, doing your job, but doing it in a context where there's great gospel need. That provides a number of things. One, it means the informal relationships you build with people, a number of those relationships could be with people who've just never heard the gospel. And now you see them at the store, they live next door, if you've moved to another country, and you have the opportunity, of course, as you learn the language, to be able to share the gospel with them. That also allows you to encourage long-term workers who may be in difficult or frontier places where there's not a large Christian witness. Those are people who are living sometimes a rather lonely existence out on the fringes, bringing the gospel where it's most needed. If you can do your job there, you can be a support and encouragement to those missionaries just by being Christian friends, attending if there is there a local church, being a support in the local church. So, business as missions, another thing worth considering, a non-traditional way to reach the nations. Now, it may be that in the past, you have only thought of missions in the traditional way, a goer supported by the local church, and there's no other way. Maybe you've never even thought about other ways that you could be involved in reaching the nations. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.